So what have you done? You are independent to what degree? What have you put up?
About 4.2 kilowatts of photovoltaic panels.
Excellent.
1,500-watt wind generator. And then the court of last resort, which is a 6,000-watt gasoline-powered generator. I'd rather eat a bug than turn it on, but if all else fails, I will turn it on.
Yeah.
And we run it about 150 hours yearly.
Uh-huh. How often do you have to turn it on? How frequently?
Well, during the summer, not at all, and during the spring, not at all, and during the fall. But during the winters here in Oregon, I'll run it on average maybe once or twice a week, you know, when extended cloudy periods hang on.
Sure. And that does occur in Oregon. Okay, so you've got 4,000 watts of electrical energy, and then you must have a, do you have a battery bank to store it?
A big battery bank. I can store enough energy to last us for 4.5 to 5 days.
That's damn good. Wait, so what do you have, a lot of deep cell type things?
Yes, large storage cell batteries. I can store about 65 kilowatt hours of energy battery.
That's excellent.
Right, and when, you know, second, third day of no sun and no wind, we start conserving.
Sure.
And then we start, you know, oh, no, it's not time to vacuum the house. Oh, no, it's not time to do the wash. It can wait till later.
Yep.
And, you know, eventually, if the sun doesn't come out, we'll light up that gas generator. We'll burn it for 2 or 3 hours, and then everything goes on.
All right, let me further ask. Do you take the output of the battery bank that you have and then convert it into 110 volts or 240 or something like that? Do you have inverters, in other words?
Oh, yes.
You do, all right.
Oh, absolutely. Gone are the days when everybody ran a 12-volt household. That was the very early days of off-grid living back in the early 80s.
And so in these days, then, you can have the solar panels out there, folks. They can be feeding a battery bank, and that battery bank then goes to what's called an inverter, and that changes it into 120 or 240 volts as you would normally have in your home. You run it into your house, and then what, Richard? What have you done inside the house?
Oh, well, our house is electrically normal. People who walk in there are amazed that we're not on grid. We have every particular giga that we want, and it's just that whatever we do, we do the research and we spend that additional amount of money, and it's generally not much, probably another 5 to maybe even 15% on some cases, to get the most efficient appliance possible to do that mm-hmm. job.
Right.
And we have 2 refrigerator freezers. We have a home theater system. We have 5 computer systems with a network. We have satellite internet. Compact fluorescent and LED lighting.
All right for you.
I mean, it's the house is cycling. Well, when we're getting the sun and we don't really particularly have to pay attention to how much we're using, we can cycle 12 to 17 kilowatt hours of renewable energy every day, which is enough to power a downtown home, you know, with the possible exception of things like an electric stove. Our stove is run by propane, our cook stove.
Mm-hmm.
For heat, we use solar heat in the winter, and we use passive solar cooling in the summer.
When you say you use solar heat, what?
Oh, our home is a passive solar home. It's also an active solar home. By that I mean the building is situated in such a way that it catches the south, it's got a lot of windows on the south face, and it is facing due south.
Right.
That's the passive angle. The building is super insulated. It's about R30 in the walls and R60 in the ceilings. And it also has an active solar heating system with 4 flat panels on the roof that drive a thermal slab on the ground level of the building.
Huh.
And this slab is concrete, and it has and it's faced with beautiful Spanish tiles, and it has tubing embedded in the slab. So when the sun comes up, the differential thermostat says, "Hey, the collectors are hotter than the floor. Let's pump heat."
Huh.
And it runs all day long.
So I want to get this straight. These tubes are embedded, you put them in and then pour concrete over them, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And the concrete, I take it, absorbs the heat during the day quite readily and passes it on to these tubes that, what, have water in them or something?
Yes, plain old water.
Okay, and then that water circulates into what?
Into solar collectors on the roof, flat plate collectors.
Right.
Four by 8 foot. 4 feet wide, 8 foot long panels on the roof.
And then how does it transfer that heat to your home?
Just from radiation and convection off the slab.
Huh.
And the slab will store 3 to 4 days of heat for the house once we get it warm. And I mean warm. My wife Karen and I have walked around on it barefoot, and it is distinctly warm to the touch. And when there's snow on the ground outside, we used to have a wood stove, and we still have one for backup. And although we don't burn it much, we cut our wood consumption. And we're in a place where we get 3 and 4 feet of snow during a winter. We've cut our wood consumption from 4 to 5 cords a winter down to half a cord of wood per winter.
Gee, that's more for aesthetics than real heat.
Yeah. Well, there are times when we'll get 2 week and 3 week cloudy periods here in Oregon. It doesn't happen very often. Last winter was a good example. In November and December, we had one. So we'll light the stove up and burn it for a few hours. And because the house is so well insulated, it traps that heat, and then we can cruise for a couple, 3 days before we have to do it again if the sun doesn't come back.
All right. Well, you're a pretty good example because I live, for example, in a solar paradise where clouds are the rare exception. We have almost all sunny, windy days, so it's ideal for this kind of thing. But you're a better example because you live in Oregon where, well, frankly, there's a lot of rain and a lot of cloudy days, and yet you're doing it anyway. So people can't really say, I live in Oregon, I can't do it. Wrong.